Krishna has no appetite for such delicious food. Baladev can only eat a mouthful. Sridham, by nature, is a small eater, and Subal has become very asubal, very weak from eating too little. Alas! On one side, we have persons with no power of digestion and no interest in eating, and on the other side, we have the most incredibly tasty nectar-conquering food cooked by Lakshmi Devi herself. Everyone knows that elegant poetry is useless in an assembly of prosaic persons, prosaic and unpoetical persons. You know, like good music is of no importance when you are amongst donkeys. They don't. So there's good food, but people with poor digestions all around. Similarly, all the delicious preparations here are useless in the absence of connoisseurs who can really savor such delights. These four kinds of foodstuffs are the desired fruits of all human endeavors: artha, dharma, karma, and moksha. What a pity! Only I am qualified to taste these four types of food. Sridham replied, Okay, Maru, you should immediately make offerings to your stomach, the all and all for which you have become a Brahmana. Madhu Mangal immediately got back on Sridham. You fool! You are just a simple cowherd boy. What do you know about relishing rasa, food or mellows? Just do your duty and go herd your cows. You are an ignoramus in the art of tasting. However, I am a pandit, a brahmana, learned in all the shastras. Therefore, anyone who feeds me will attain the result of all fire sacrifices offered to the Lord. Now Sridham is a little bit intense. O Brahmana, even in 100 births, you will not know the Vedas and Smritis. You are known as a Brahmana only because you wear a thread. Now Krishna intervened. Bhato, have you studied all the Rasa Shastras? One should know the characteristics of figurative expressions. Another meaning of this is, so when you want to have rasa, you will have to know poetry. Without poetry, you won't be able to put the, with all its expressions, you won't be able to convey rasa. So, but another meaning is, one should know the characteristics of good cooking. Madhu Mangal immediately took on the role of a priest who began to preach. Yes, I know. Some rasa shastras describe 8 rasas headed by conjugal rasas. However, in my opinion, there are only 6 rasas. Form, softness, fragrance, sweetness, melodiousness, and the emotion of joy, which one can relish through his 6 senses, the mind and 5 senses. We can behold the attractive form of the food. We can touch its softness. We can smell its wonderful fragrance, taste its sweetness, hear its nice sound while munching, and mentally feel ecstatic joy from eating. So rasa in Madhu Mangal's interpretation is clearly that the relish of food. Those who maintain that without taking shelter of the art of figurative language, there can be no appearance of rasa except eight or more rasas. However, they do not know anything about figurative language or the art of cooking. Giving up the rasas of soup and sabji, they attempt to relish the rasa impersonal merging. They are like thirsty people who leave an oasis to run after mirage. They do not know that you must chew to experience rasa. Let them chew, but they will not relish the juice for millions of lives. Baladev was struck with curiosity over Bhatu's new definition of rasa and inquired, O Brahmana, in your opinion, what are the anubhavas, 13 physical expressions of ecstasy and tasting the rasa? Here you can only have rasas with anubhavas, sanshari bhava. What are the sanshari bhavas, transitory emotions? What is the sthayi bhava, permanent emotion? How can one taste the rasa? Please explain and give some proofs. So Madhu Mangal answered, Haladara, scholars of rasa say that tears, ashru, which is sattvika bhava, appear after tasting rasa, but I cry beforehand out of grief if I do not taste any food. When I eat lots of food, I become jubilant. This is harsha. It's all these emotions which come and go. And the hair on my body stands erect, romancha. Satisfaction from eating makes my complexion glow with attraction, vaivanya. While eating, my voice chokes up, gadgada, as I shout in ecstasy, excellent! And I become stunned, stamba, with sorrow if I do not devour plenty of sweets. Right now you can see I'm perspiring, Sveda, and after eating a huge quantity of food, I faint, Pralaya. I'm now experiencing the sanshari bhavas of fatigue, contemplation and sleep. Now, as far as your question regarding sthayi bhava, that's the permanent emotion, there's only one permanent ecstatic mellow, named tastefulness, but it is experienced in many different ways. The splendid ghee-soaked rice looks like it's bathed in golden water. Its enchanting aroma pleases all the cowherd men. Shridam and the other boys, who usually only smell the fresh grass chewed by the cows, have attained such a rare treat only by the great pious merit of associating with me, the most fortunate glutton. Shridam said, O Bhatu, Brahmanas are supposed to perform austerities in the forest and eat only leaves, roots and fruits. Therefore, you should not enjoy in this manner. You should stop eating. All this luxurious food, go to the forest and perform austerities. Madhu Mangal countered, Oh, Shridam, you are speaking the truth. In my previous life, I did austerities by eating only forest fruits, leaves and roots. In this life, these things have transformed into ghee, fried tasty delights. Just see, I am the very, very proof that one can enjoy heaven on earth. However, such enjoyment is never possible for one who has not performed austerities in a previous life. When Rohini served sweet rice to Madhu Mangal, Subal said, "Wait, if you are giving sweet rice to that Brahmana because he is famous for performing austerity and exhausting everyone with useless speech, you should first give it to the monkeys because they are double as qualified than Madhu Mangal. Monkeys tolerate cold, heat, wind and rain and live in the forest, subsisting on leaves, flowers and fruits. Perhaps they also remember their past lives. Who knows their intelligence?" You can see the cowherd boys amongst themselves are quite rusty or quite robust in their jokes. Krishna said, "Friend Subal, Brahmanas are fixed in meditation on Brahman, but monkeys are only interested in filling their bellies. The two are vastly different, so why are you comparing Madhu Mangal with a monkey?" Subal said, "Oh Krishna, I do not see any difference between a Brahmana and a monkey. Simply having the body of a man, Nara, or monkey, Vanara, should not be a cause of making distinctions. To show the world his extensive learning, this Brahmana has interpreted the word Brahman to mean his belly, which is as unlimited and everlasting as Brahman. Bhattu's worship of Brahman attains perfection by self-worship. Therefore, the celibate Brahmachari worships Brahman in his belly, meditating three times a day on how to fill it up. Sometimes he becomes so absorbed in gobbling up huge amounts of delicious food that he eats with both hands, just like a monkey." Subhabed made everyone laugh by singing the glories of the gluttonous Brahmana. Madhu Mangal laughed too, but since he was eating at the same time, he started choking on his food. He coughed loudly and his face turned red. Yashoda said, "Bhattu, Bhattu, Bhattu, do not laugh while you eat. Relax, please, for a moment. Stop eating and be quiet. Oh, boys, do not laugh at him anymore." The Nishtha brought separate plates of savories prepared by Lalita and others. Yashoda lovingly served them to the delight of the cowherd boys. Radha and her friends, the embodiments of fortune for Krishna's abode, filled with bliss upon seeing the wondrous moon-like face of their hearts beloved. The gopis were trapped in the net of Syama's sweet body, submerged in the rising tide of their deep love for him. Krishna's friends, who had ferocious appetites, also man würde es übersetzen ins Deutsche, die einen Wolfshunger hatten, thoroughly relished the four types of foods produced from the essence of nectar. They told various jokes, laughed and made Krishna laugh too. They chewed the tender items, licked the sweet delicacies, sucked the juicy ones and happily drank the nectarian beverages like milk. Now, while all this is going up and Madhu Mangal almost loses his life from laughing and eating at the same time, something on a different level takes place. Krishna secretly sent his honeybee-like eyes to Kishori's sweet lotus face while relishing the superb food made sweeter than nectar by the touch of her hand. Mother Yashoda experienced boundless bliss upon seeing Krishna's satisfaction with the meal. Radha, in turn, relished the sweet taste of Syama's unexcelled handsomeness with her timid glances. Though very carefully concealing her feelings from others, Radha profoundly attracted Krishna's heart with her lovely blinking eyes. As Syam, the king of lovers, beheld Radha's restless eyes dancing like an intoxicated wagtail bird, he saw Radha as the most tender, sweet food for his senses. Suddenly, so while Madhumangal talks on one type of rasa, is a relish of the food through the six senses, including the mind, the ear, you know, hears the sweet sound of munching of the food, you know, like that. While this type of rasa is enjoyed by Madhumangal, Krishna sees another type of rasa. And suddenly Krishna lost his appetite, even though Rohini was eagerly trying to serve him. Mother Yashoda became very upset seeing Krishna listlessly picking at his half-eaten breakfast. Listlessly picking means lustlos.
And then,
was?
Stochern?
Ja, lustlos in dem halb gegessenen Frühstück rumstochern. With great concern, Yashoda said, "Oh, child, though you are hungry, why aren't you eating the carefully prepared feast? Your reluctance to eat is a great curse on my head. I diligently brought Brishabhanu Nandini here to cook the breakfast, which is billions of times more delicious than nectar. Yet still you refuse to eat. Alas, alas, what more can be done? Oh, my son, you're not eating is killing me." Yashoda turned to Rohini and said, "Look, Rohini, though this whimsical weak boy is hungry, he will not eat." Rohini, flowing with motherly love, affectionately fondled Krishna while coaxing him to eat. "My child, Radharani, who is as delicate and lovely as a jasmine flower, and I have labored hard to prepare all these delicacies. Why are you giving grief to Radha, your mother, and me by not eating? Look, your mother is distressed, thinking that if you do not eat now, later in the day you will feel tired and hungry from roaming in the forest. Please, heed my words and eat at least a little food." Krishna replied, "Mother, I have already eaten quite a lot, so I'm not hungry anymore." Suddenly, Krishna became overtaken with the ecstatic desire to meet Radha. Krishna concealed his emotions and slowly ate in order to please Rohini and Yashoda. Yashoda, desiring that Krishna eat all the sweets, pointed out the different items while encouraging, "Look, this one is very sweet. I swear it, it is." Yashoda's eyes flooded with tears as she pleaded, "You should eat everything I give you." Due to motherly love, Yashoda's breast milk and tears flowed in streams to moisten her dress. Although Krishna was already full, Yashoda repeatedly forced him to eat all the rasala, mango nectar, shikarini, shadava, milk, gruel mixed with yogurt, vegetables, yogurt, fruit, pishtaka, and the many types of cakes and pies. The coward boys were impatient. They wanted to go to the forest after fully satisfying their hunger with all the tastes by drinking, chewing, licking, and sucking. They rinsed their mouths with water, washed their hands with the refined scented clay, and cleaned their teeth with toothpicks made of ishika grass. They performed ashaman with water brought in gold cups by the servants. So one servant named Jambula offered Krishna clean cooling kadira power, mixed with camphor, rose powder, cloves, and cardamom to create a pleasant flavor in his mouth. So kadira power mixed with camphor, rose powder, cloves, and cardamom. He massaged Krishna's belly with his left hand to stimulate his digestion. Krishna accepted a fresh palm leaf from his eager servant Rasala and walked 100 steps. I'm doing this also. Here it is. This is authorized. And walked 100 steps before lying down on a spacious bed. Finally, in black and white, the servants waved peacock fans to refresh Krishna. Vilasaka offered some specially prepared tambula. So this is the breakfast of Krishna. With the joking of Madhu Mangal, who entertains the wonderful cowherd boyfriends of Krishna who sit around him like stars, who sit around the moon. And then we all of a sudden hear an interesting change. Krishna loses his appetite. Tomorrow we will hear what happens when Radharani and her sakis eat, how they eat. God. So what struck you? What did you remember, or what was moving your attention in a special way?
I just ask myself why Krishna loses the appetite when he looks in the eyes of Radharani. Is there a special reason for that?
I'm very surprised that you can ask such a question. Yes, Krishna is overcome with emotions for Srimati Radharani, and in such an emotional state, there are different things. When an emotion overtakes another emotion, then it becomes prominent, and there is no place for another emotion. Like, for instance, when you eat and you always feel the emotion, the emotion, I really have to go now, I really have to, otherwise the whole day falls into pieces. Then, although you may be hungry, that emotion of that feeling of I really have to go now and meet my business partner to sell a time waiver, you know, it's overtaking everything. You leave the meal and have something else. Any other contribution? This is what you wanted to say, Ananda Nitai, this question. Mm-hmm. Yes, is it answered, your question?
Yes.
Good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Any other?
I was thinking on the same point of enjoying with the cowboy boys, eating and joking.
Yeah.
But suddenly he turned his glance towards Srimati Radharani and his whole mood changed. And then it seems that this is higher because he lose taste for what he was doing actually with the cowboy boy. But now his mind is somewhere else, thinking of Radharani, and therefore he lose appetite. And then we have Rohini and Yasoda who comes and say, but we are especially ask Radharani to come and cook. How can you do that to not eat anymore? And yeah, I was also thinking on that point, that for Krishna is maybe more higher type of pleasure in his relationship with Radharani. Therefore, the other type of jokes do not keep such big importance, and his mind is turned toward Srimati Radharani.
I was thinking that there must be, it's not maybe so much explained in this book, but there must be also connection between Krishna's feeling and those jokes, like Madhumanga is speaking about this rasa, but actually Krishna is relishing a different rasa, but there must be some pretext, because Madhumanga is actually informed what Krishna feels, mm-hmm. and there must be, he's making jokes, but I think there are, must be some other meaning on those jokes.
Yes, Madhumangala is privy. Mm-hmm. He is informed and participates in the rasa with Srimati Radharani.
There are many double meanings. There is, of course, much more information about this breakfast in Krishna Bhavanamrita and Govinda Lilamrita. I know of these two works. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was also surprised how it was interesting how when Krishna loses the appetite, then the first argument with Mother Yasoda and Rohini have is, but Radharani cooked it, how can you refuse it?
Yeah, it's connected.
I was also thinking on this point, but more from the perspective, how beautiful is Krishna that he can interact at the same time different rasas, all the devotees, joke with the camera voice, the hints of freedom, so bold, that, oh, I did austerities in my past life, so realistic, and internally is absorbed in the body, how much he cooked, with the spices and everything. And let's see, on another level, the internet stops to eat, and the show is so concerned, and it's motherly love, it's just flowing, naked flowing. So how Krishna is able to just fulfill and interact at every moment?
Wonderful. I'm thinking when we have finished the Sakhi's breakfast and we come to the to the next devotion, next point. Then I'm thinking maybe we should go to the play. Krishna will now leave after having finished eating. He takes a little rest and he walks first 100 steps. And then he lies down on a spacious bed, and he gets specially prepared tambula and gets fanned to be refreshed. And then they actually go out. Actually, we should hear, that's very, very nice. Yeah, we will hear that. Yeah, and then that's a very, very nice thing. How they go out here, thus carrying one another and being carried by one another, and at the same time tending the cows, the boys followed Krishna to a banyan tree known as Mandiraka. So they, you can just imagine how much they enjoy. They carry each other, and sometimes out of love, another cowboy says, "Get on my shoulders, I will carry you now." And defeated in a wrestling game, which happens on the side while they walk, Krishna has to carry Sridham on his shoulders. You know, it's like the door of Vrindavan town opens, and out comes a wave of enthusiastic cowherd boys spilling into the forest. And we will hear that also. But then I would like to read how Krishna returns from the cowherd pasturing grounds. That is very sweet. Krishna. Oh, it would be so nice if these pastimes become real for us. And if we are given the mercy to really forget this boring material life and enter into this wonderful world of Krishna, which is so tasteful, so and so loving. You know, everything, what struck me is everything is so absolutely full of love, which is happening there, but love in many, many tastes. You know, joking. I just see this Madhu Mangal just with a red head, you know, he's coughing. not being able to continue, but he's still so interested in eating, he continues eating, so that he has to be stopped by Yashoda, you know, please stop, you kill yourself. Relax now and stop for some time, and then you can continue. So it's just so far out. Good. That is it for this evening. We think we are very grateful that Giriraj has come. This is very, very special. He has come from the hill now into this room. It almost looks like this. I'm very happy. One Krishna.